Let all of you who have breath praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's okay. They just sang, it's blessed assurance. If I could sing it, I would. It says, this is my story. This is my song. That song tells you there that we're all transfigured because we all have a story to tell. I ask that you bow your head for a quick word of prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning looking for a word to touch our very existence. God, some of us had to press our way just to get here on today. While some of us plan to be here, others just couldn't make it. Whatever the circumstances are, every person in this congregation here on today is here by your divine appointment. We've all come, God, because we need to hear a word from you. God, right now I ask that you stand up in me and hide me, dear God, behind the cross. And that the people will see more of you and less of me. And I pray this in your Son, Jesus the Christ's name. Amen. So this morning's text, it comes from a passage commonly known as the Transfiguration. I would guess that some of you are really familiar with this story. You may have read or studied the word transfiguration. Here's where we get the English words metamorphosis and transformation. This word means change. The word transfigure is used four times in the New Testament. And one is here in the passage that was read today. One of the other passages where this word can be found is in Romans 12 and 2, where Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by your mind, that by testing you may discern the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, the beauty of the transformative power of Jesus is the same power that transforms all of us, mainly in the renewal of our minds, when you connect Romans and our text for today. You see, I start with this because it will help us get a better understanding of the word transformation. And it's important because after you read Mark's account, many of you may be walking away saying, hey, hold up, wait a minute, it's interesting, but I'm still confused. I don't know what's going on, so I need a little help here. Well, you may even ask the question, what's the purpose of this? Why did he write this? What is the meaning of this with my faith walk? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because if we go back to the end of verse 2, it says, he transfigured before them. He transfigured before them. Now, you may be thinking, it's still not helpful. Well, to me, it's important because Mark's account is saying that the transfiguration was done for the disciples. Again, he transformed before them. So the transfiguration had to be done for the disciples. Jesus wasn't saying, look at what I can do. Look at this. I can perform magic. I can transform into a flash of light. But verse 2 says he was transfigured before them on the account of the disciples. He did this. In verse 4, it says that he appeared before them. In verse 7, it says a cloud appeared and covered them. And also, the cloud told them to listen to him. Again, you have verse 2. Transfigured before them. Verse 4, it says he appeared before them. Verse 7, it says a cloud appeared and covered them. So this shows that the transfiguration was done for the disciples. There is something that we can learn here today, because we too are disciples. You see, it starts with Jesus and three of his closest friends. As Pastor Jeff said, you have Paul, you have John, you have James. Jesus took these disciples to the top of a mountain. And this happened right before, he was in the wilderness. He did all this, He spent 40 days in the wilderness. He took them to a high place to prepare them for the road ahead. Someone should have shouted right there. Gave me an amen or something, because you all missed it. He took them to a high mountain to prepare them for the road ahead. Hopefully, if you missed it, you'll get it on your way home. Because every now and then, Jesus will take you to a place, whether it's high or whether it's low, to prepare you for what you don't see coming around the corner. He was transfigured. He was transformed before them. Can we stop right there for a second? You see, church, now the word transfigured, as I said, it means that Jesus' appearance changed. You see, the Gospels tells us that his face changed. His clothes changed and they became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world can bleach them. Can you imagine how white that was? I can't. Pure white. Me, I like white socks, white t-shirts, whatever. They have to be white. So if they were whiter than that, how white, how pure was that? Another gospel writer tells us that his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. We all know how bright lightning is. It was then that Jesus revealed the fullness of his divine status to Peter, to James, and to John. You see, prior to this, Jesus, they saw him as a prophet. They saw him as a miracle worker. You see, he fed thousands of people on more than one occasion. He healed those people who some people thought was unhealable, if that's a word. Jesus did the unimaginable. You see, during this time with the disciples, Jesus tried to prepare them for the future. Again, for the road that was ahead of him, of them. He tried to prepare them for what they would encounter. He knew that during this time, they would be shifted. Their spirit would be shaken. Do you realize that each of you are going through a process that is requiring us to add structure onto what God is bringing us, molding us for in the future? Something that you may not know, but this is also your preparation for a season of change. Preparation for a season of change. You see, during this time, you will be shifted, you'll be shaken, just as the disciples were, but the outcome will leave you prepared. I'm here to let you know that God is preparing to separate and shed your old self to make room for the new. Did you get that? Transformation. We are all going through a process. We're going through a drastic change in the way we will eventually appear to others. We cannot watch for the change and be ready for Jesus Christ if we don't know Jesus. The Bible says that you cannot know Christ until God brings the new birth. The new birth comes your way when you trust Jesus and you make room for him, the Lord, by inviting him into your life to make the kind of person, to make you the kind of person that he wants you to be. That's transformation. The next thing I'm about to say might blow your mind. Do you also realize that death is also a part of your part of transformation? Do you realize that? You see, I was asked before who my favorite theologians were. I don't have any, too many of them. But I did read two. And I remember theologians Daniel Migliori, if I pronounced it wrong, forgive me, shares that death is an inseparable action from one's person and one's fate. Whereas Martha Berg states that death is also the death of an image of ourselves. This means that you are in the process of shedding that old image to make room for the new. By separating that old, by shedding that old, you are going through a process of transformation that leads to an elevation. So again, you have been prepared. You are going through a state of preparation that leads to a transformation that would ultimately lead to an elevation. Think about it. Elevation is a result of lifting, arising someone or something above others, moving or being moved apart from others. Transformation. You see, we're in a season of Lent. And I've asked each of you, if you had time to take part of the fast, during this season, after this season, I expect to be transformed. You see, the call of the disciples was a divine call, a call of purpose. It was a call at an appointed time. You see, the disciples had to go through a stage of preparation, a stage of transformation that led to their elevation. And guess what? So do you. You were chosen by one identity, and you will be transformed into a new. Once you go through a transformation, it's like a tune-up, where the old oil is drained out and the fresh oil is put in. When this happens, you won't be the same. You go through the transformation, as I said, that leads to that elevation. Things you used to do, you won't do it anymore. When Jesus was transfigured, it was a change on the outside that came from the inside. You see, that glory that Jesus had, I can't imitate it, but it actually radiated from within. Can you imagine? That's why I feel good, because I know that I'm going through that transformation period. Because what I feel on the inside, some of you actually see it on the outside. You see, there was a change on the outside that came from within as he allowed his importance, that beauty, to shine into the open. I thought it was beauty. Can you imagine that bright light? It had to be a beautiful sight to see. The voice from heaven left him with no doubt that God, who spoke in the past through Moses, which was the law, and through Elijah, which was a prophet, was now speaking clearly through his son. Jesus was not a successor, but to me he was superior to Moses and to Elijah. He fulfilled both the law and the prophet. As I end, I want to leave you with this quote. The greatest thing that you can do for Jesus is the very next thing he asks you to do. And I'm going to ask, God has spoken to us through his son. Are you listening for God's voice? If that cloud was to come over you, are you listening? Are you ready for that transformation that's right around the corner? Amen.